Hey friends, welcome to the Victor Marks Podcast with Victor Marks, founder of All Things Possible Ministries. Welcome to the show where we bring you real conversations faced with life's hard truths, stories of redemption, and the latest from the front lines. Whether you're on the road, getting your day started, or finally settling in, we've got an exciting new episode planned for you. So let's dive in to today's show.
Joining us here on the Victor Marks Show, my name is Frank Sontag. Victor is on assignment. He's deployed right now, and he has asked me to sit in and do some interviews. Many of you don't know who I am. I've got a little bit of radio experience and a background here. So Victor said, would you please do some interviews? And one of the areas that I'm excited about is I've been asked to interview some of those that are responsible for the ministry at All Things Possible. The brainchild, if you will, men with boots on the ground that make this ministry possible. And this next man that's on the hotline, I am blessed to know and am in awe of and have great reverence and respect for. I've spent some time with him, and he is the chief operating officer, among other things, at All Things Possible Ministries, Jeff Teagues. Welcome to the Victor Marks Show.
Frank, it's great to hear your voice, and we can't thank you enough for helping us fill in and carrying the torch while Victor is otherwise disposed.
Yeah, well, I'm grateful to just hold on to the torch for a while and keep moving forward in the Lord. And I've got so many questions for you, so I want to ask at the very beginning. We only have, obviously, in a lot of time on the program, so I want to maybe make this a two-part interview and maybe we can figure something out next week so we don't have to get everything in on this interview, because, Jeff, I have to tell you, you're an interesting man. Victor told me about you a few years ago. I've been tracking you from afar, and then recently I got to meet you and spend some time with you. So let's kind of lean in and see what the Lord would have in this time on the Victor Marks Show. So here is the first question, probably the easiest, if you will. What does the chief operating officer do at All Things Possible Ministry? What does that mean?
Well, Frank, it's a fascinating blend from doing things at the tactical level and the strategic level. So, you know, I think too often all these things get separated. And then, you know, as you mature in your profession and your experience, you miss the tactical side of things and you get bogged down with the strategy. So I have the pleasure of developing the strategy, aligning resources and programs and goals and intent and metrics, how we're going to measure the success of all the different things that ATP does around the globe. And then I also have the added bonus of joining Victor on the ground and being a pivotal player when we are traveling and conducting counter-sex trafficking operations in the U.S. or if we're in Cambodia or Iraq. So I feel like I really have the best of both worlds as a strategist, a tactician, and a close friend with Vic and Eileen.
Now, for those that may not know, you have an extensive background. You have served our country greatly. And your area of expertise, if we can just put it in an area, even though it's a little more complex than that, in your time as the U.S. Army Special Operations and what you did for a quarter of a century in service, what did you do in the military?
So I joined when I was 17 years old, straight out of high school. I wasn't sure what God had in store for me, and I was looking for a challenge and something interesting and an adventure. And I stumbled across the U.S. Army Rangers, which really piqued my interest. People know a lot more about them now than we did back in 1987. But I had the privilege, and these are stories within stories, of finding my way into the 1st Ranger Battalion as a young man, 18 years old. And it really shaped the way that I developed from there on out. I had a break in service after a five-year tour to go to college, and then I came back in as an officer, served at the 2nd Ranger Battalion, then went Special Forces, and then went to serve in what is commonly known as Delta Force. So I was chasing small unit tactics and leadership, and had the privilege of, you know, one, defending our national interests and leading men and women into and out of combat, starting in 1989 of the Just Cause invasion into Panama until I retired in 2015 with the ongoing wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
So, obviously, you've got many stories. Maybe we'll revisit one or two in the next interview, but I'm prompted now to lean hard into this idea of it's twofold. Number one, you're a soldier in every sense of the word. You're a combat veteran. Years ago, in my early days, Vietnam was the war. We didn't know what it was. I was set to go, and then we ended up pulling out, and unlike maybe some of the listeners and you, none of the male members in my family served. My dad did a little bit in Korea, but I was not really called in the military. Here's my whole point for what I'm trying to say. When I volunteered at VA centers, the combat veterans were always the ones that really didn't want to talk much because they saw, if you will, the horrors of war. I'm not interested in you going there, but the idea of combat, you have seen the worst in humanity, front and center, and yet now you're a man of God. You're a warrior for Christ. If you want to jump off in any way, shape, and form with anything that you're led to right now, I would love our listeners here on the Victor Marks Show to hear a little bit about your experience in that area of literally being a soldier and a warrior.
Well, I think what might be a little bit different than most people is I relish the opportunity to talk about my experiences. And I don't know to this day how much of the way that I view being a warrior in combat as innate or what's developed and trained. You know, that's kind of the eternal question we have when we're selecting and training Rangers or Special Forces individuals or Delta Force operators. Like, how much of it is innate? And how much of it can you learn? The horrors, so to speak, of combat have never bothered me. You know, and I liken it to just a new normal. You know, the first time a person goes hunting and you kill an animal, there's a certain feeling that you have there. And then when you skin and gut that animal, there's a certain feeling that you have. But as you do it more and more, it becomes something that's integrated into your life. And I know this may sound a little bit weird, but, you know, the horrors of war, as you train for them and you become accustomed to them and you recognize that it's your new normal, it's no longer something that is scary or intimidating. It's something you relish and see it as a challenge. Now, what I would want to bolster that with is, you know, I've been a believer as long as I can remember. I was baptized as an infant. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to private schools, and my faith was developed and strong at an early age. So even as I was moving into combat, you know, my focus was on mission accomplishment, keeping the men and women to my left and right safe and sound and alive. I never really feared for myself physically, and I certainly never feared for myself, you know, eternally. So I think that's one of the things that people have to recognize is if you're going to choose to be a warrior, if you're going to choose to be a soldier, you also have to accept what comes along with that. And it can be damage, emotional, psychological, physical damage to yourself. You can die doing it. And I just feel, Frank, that early on, you know, in the late 80s, after the first time I cut my teeth in combat in Panama, I came to the resolute idea that I am prepared to shed my life for this cause and defend this nation and to be a warrior. And even when I had kids and married, it's something that, yeah, maybe they didn't go into it wittingly, but it became a part of our family and recognized, and it became our new normal. So I think that's the takeaway, that the country we live in is so prosperous, and we have so much that we forget what the human body and mind can endure and sustain. And I think of the different gifts that God has given me, he's given me that ability to endure and be resilient.
Well, in the idea of being able to endure and be resilient, Jeff Teagues is my guest here on the Victor Marks Show. He's the chief operating officer, among many other things, at All Things Possible Ministries. So how have you learned, and the idea of applying what you've learned in the physical, and it's not just physical, but the spiritual implications of warfare and being a combat veteran and understanding this idea, innate versus training. How have you applied that to your work in spiritual warfare and what you do at ATP? I know recently you and Victor and others, you've been very active at the training center. You've had some people in special ops come in. I mean, I'll just get to it. There's a spiritual war going on right now. There are some that know it that are listening. Sadly, there are some men that say they're Christians that have no clue what we're talking about, let alone God is calling them to step up in the battle.
Well, Frank, it's one of the things that I think has allowed me to transition from a career in the military into the civilian sector and still feel like I have that passion and purpose. So even though I wholly identify as a soldier and a warrior, it wasn't what I took pride in. So I think, I don't know how to splice this. It was my identity, but I recognized that it didn't mean I had to be in the Army or had to wear a uniform. I'm still a soldier and a warrior, and I think the way that you've kind of alluded to is I'm a soldier and a warrior for my faith and for the truth. So, you know, sometimes I hesitate to say, you know, I'm a soldier for Jesus. I'm a soldier for the truth, and we work with people of all different nationalities and races and religious beliefs, and we do find those fundamental truths. The fact that I'm a Christian and not a Muslim is really not an inhibiting factor. Mm-hmm. We find that common ground, those truths that God laid out for us, and we're able to work together. And what I really relish with ATP that you're not really able to do in the military is you're able to pray about things and really try to feel and understand where God is leading you. You know, I didn't have that leeway in the military. I'd go to my boss and say, hey, Colonel, you know, I've been praying about this, and I just think this is the direction we need to take, or this is a target, you know, we should not hit today, or this is a target we should press on. You know, I love the fact that every single thing we do in ATP, we take to God in prayer. We do it very intentionally and methodically, but I also don't want our listeners, Frank, to think that this is easy, right? Like God, right. God gives you that little bit of a light to take that first step, and then oftentimes he's got you zigging left and zagging right. But I think part of it is what I enjoy is just walking faithfully in where he's called us to, and beginning to transition, especially as I get older, more from this physical fight to what you have been talking about of this spiritual warfare and working these attacks from the spiritual realm. Absolutely fascinating. And Vic and Eileen have an incredible calling on their lives to affect that realm.
Well, I'm a bit taken aback by your response. It's an area that I was thinking about pursuing maybe a little later, but let me get to it now, and I'm just going to cut to the chase here. Wasn't that long ago, my family visited, Eileen and Victor, we went to the training center, you were there, you helped my 13-year-old son shoot a weapon for the first time, you taught my wife, you exchanged some experience for me, where I shot the weapon, and so the question in my mind is, and maybe you don't, but I'm thinking you have a lot of stories from when you were in combat. But being on the grounds at ATP and the training center and the people you've helped, literally hands-on, over the last number of months, scores of people turn their lives around or validate their faith or show them how to shoot a weapon for the first time. So to be at ATP and be the chief operating officer, among other things, is there a story that comes to mind where you know God has you in this season in the right place at All Things Possible Ministries?
You know, all the things that we do at the training center really are designed to help people become self-aware, maybe of their weaknesses, maybe of their strengths. but really helping them recognize where God is trying to shine a light and maybe clean out some of these corners, or where God is trying to reach down and lend them a hand that they're just not quite seeing. So I came into ATP, like you're talking about, very aware of my martial skills and how we were developing those to be shaping exercises so that people were ready to talk about the deep things that were troubling them or that they desire or the closer that they want to be with God. And the first couple times that I accompanied Victor with doing the retooling prayer with folks, this spiritual warfare prayer, God absolutely confirmed to me that this is the place that he wants me to be. He's opened this new relationship with me to hear and see and feel some of these things that are happening in the spiritual realm and help guide others to a place of freedom. So here's a couple examples, and it's just been different. You know, we'll pray with people, and we'll be asking them questions on things that God wants to shine into their life or communicate to them. And I quite literally hear and see those answers from God. Sometimes before the person we're praying with, as a way to help them come to that realization on their own. Or I've been given visions of, we need to pray for this person for healing, you know, or we literally need to employ the gift of tongues, which I was given years ago that I rarely use, you know, but it's come up before where I've clearly heard you need to stand over this person and pray in this spiritual voice that I've given you. And all of these things are weird to me. I was born and raised in Wisconsin Lutheran, and I don't know what I am now. I am just a follower of Yeshua.
Amen.
So there's no question, Frank, in addition to seeing God bless ATP in everything we're doing, on a personal level, he's continuing to edify me and look beyond my shortcomings and sins and misgivings to help other people.
Yeah. Would it be safe to say, when we use analogies like light and darkness, part of the mission at ATP is to bring light into the darkness and maybe even show people in various ways, God has made them a certain way, and part of the mission at All Things Possible is to show them God's plan for their lives and to help the listeners, if are listening right now, or those that come to the training center, that this is the time God has made us for. The situation is where it is. Things are kind of changing a little bit right now in our country, to say the least. You were just with Victor at the southern border of Texas. Maybe we'll have time to get into that a little bit. But the idea of shedding light and darkness right now, what is your experience of the world and our country, not only from a military standpoint, but from a man who is a follower of Yeshua and a warrior for Christ, if you will? What about the battle that's at hand right now?
Well, Victor was the first person that I heard use this term, the manifestation of evil. And I really like that term because, you know, it's one of those things. You ask somebody, do you believe in good? Yes. Do you believe in evil? Yes or no? If you believe in evil, then how does evil manifest itself? And that's something that we're pursuing. And like you were talking about earlier, in my years of combat with Al-Qaeda and ISIS and these other terrorists, I've seen some of the worst that mankind can deliver. And it's no question to me that there was demonic influence there. And as a counter-sex trafficking and counter-pedophile professional, I've seen some of the worst that humans can do to each other, and there's no question to me that this is also the manifestation of evil. What breaks my heart, Frank, is that the United States is the single most blessed nation in the history of the universe, and we have a level of wealth and prosperity and comfort to really take those things and help others. And instead, what we've done is we've become more divisive, and we're trying to be blameful of others. So you're either the oppressor or the oppressed.
Yep.
Instead of looking at God blessing this nation to be a light in the world, and I'm sorry, you know, maybe I'm not woke, but I believe that God blessed the United States to be a shining beacon for the world. And I'm not prepared to abdicate that responsibility that he laid upon us.
Mm. Jeff, we've got about 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes. I've got tons of questions. The area that I am prompted to ask you to maybe share more about, you're a strategist too. When I first met you, even the way you move, it, for me, from my eye, it's undeniable, you have an eye, and you go to strategy, and you surveil, and you've got all these gifts inside of you. And I don't know where I'm going, to be honest with you, other than I want our listeners here on the Victor Marks Show to know who you are, in part, because that's part of why I'm here, is to give those of you at ATP a voice. But Jeff, God is using you in ways I think you understand, and in this time by which, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I look at the world and I get upset with Christian, quote-unquote, men and how they've been let themselves being taken off the battlefield, or they've been relegated to the sidelines through sin and a whole lot of other things. I just want to give you a few minutes in closing. I just want to give you the microphone and give you a few moments to share with the listeners here on Victor's show anything that God prompts you to share that is so important right now, because we've got scores of people listening from all over the world, and you have the microphone, my brother, and I'm just grateful to be sitting here and spending some time with you.
Well, Frank, I appreciate it, and when people meet me now, they're going to be looking for whatever that means to move like a strategist. You know, when people meet me, they're actually kind of disappointed. You know, yeah. You've met me. I'm short. Yeah. I have a big nose. I'm graying. You know, like I'm just this human that God put on this earth. Mm. You know, with certain talents and gifts and shortcomings. But one of the things I've always identified ever since I was a child was that I was a protector, and that I was put on this earth to protect others. And I don't think that is a call solely for me. I think that is a call for all men.
Mm-hmm.
We are here to protect women, children, our families, and our communities. Again, it doesn't sound very woke, is it, that men are supposed to protect women?
Right.
Well, I think this is a calling that we have got to return to. And I want to encourage men out there that it is your God-ordained role to be the protector of women, to be the protectors of your family. God built us in a physical way that more times than not, we're stronger, we're faster, we have more muscle. Those physical gifts are supposed to be used to be protectors. The way we see the world, you know, most men do have a bit of a strategy or a linear way of thinking, is designed to arrive at simple conclusions to protect yourself, the women and kids around you, and to free up women to do the things that they do best. So I think our God-given roles as men and women have gotten really clouded, and I want to encourage young men to really seek out what God is calling you to do. And when you hear those answers, Don't deny them. And the same for women. You know, we don't like to talk a lot about the lies of the enemy, but there's a consistency there. There's a consistency that the enemy whispers in people's eyes. And for women, it's often, you're ugly.
Yeah.
You're not good enough. No one's going to love you. And for men, it's, you're weak. You're worthless. You know, these are the lies of the enemy. And the opposite, the exact opposite, is the truth from God. You are loved, and you're good enough, and you're powerful, and he has a calling on your life, regardless of how tired and depressed and weak you feel. There's a power that you can harness through the Spirit, and I encourage people at any moment through the day to drop on their knees and ask God to just give them some of that energy and power and have the boldness to walk in that calling that he has for each of us.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Jeff Teagues is Chief Operating Officer at All Things Possible Ministries. By the way, as Jeff just shared, if you want to maybe engage, if you want to visit the training center, obviously reach out to us, victormarks.com. Maybe learn to shoot a weapon or brush up in spiritual skills to battle the enemy. Anything that maybe God has put on your heart, we want to be a resource to you. And Jeff obviously is the epitome of a man who is here to teach and train and obviously be hungry for what God has for him and for us at this time that we're alive. So reach out to us, victormarks.com. Brother, it was a blessing to spend some time with you. I look forward to our next one, and I pray that you have a blessed day.
Thanks, Frank. Love you, brother.
I love you, too.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. We'd love to stay connected with you and invite you to the conversation beyond this podcast. You can check out more of the work we're doing around the world at victormarks.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all linked in the show notes. Be sure to drop us a comment in the review section if today's show has impacted you in any way or if there's anything you'd like to hear more of. We're always encouraged to hear from you. Thanks for spending your time with us. Until next time.